This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, for this introduction. You're listening to the Christian War Room. The Christian War Room is a war room you should have as well. If you are a Christian, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you focus your life on God. Unfortunately, maybe for some of you, when you think about it, or maybe fortunately, because you've got a definite calling on your life, and this calling is to be a soldier of Christ, is to be called into the army of God. And it's a war we are fighting, and this imagery is used in the New Testament. Pretty much, I wouldn't say all over the place, but you find it quite a few times in the New Testament. Paul talks about it quite a few times in his letters. And he talks about powers of the air, strongholds that, tearing down strongholds that put themselves up against the knowledge of God. So that is what the war room is all about. So it's not a physical war, not a war against flesh and blood, but it's a war against spiritual realities, against deception, against confusion, against knowledge that turns itself against God. And I wouldn't even call it knowledge, I would call it deception, against the deception of many, many things that turn themselves against God. Okay, the last couple of days we've been talking about the LGBT issue. So this is lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender, and I think there's now a Q behind it as well. For queer or querying or something like that. So what we have is sort of a new paradigm that's been blasted out for the last 10 years. And this paradigm is all about identity. Yeah? So if you've got sexual inclinations which are not considered to be traditional, yeah, that then becomes your identity and you are no longer, don't want to mention any names, but you're no longer, the person that is called by your name, whatever your name is, but you are now a gay, a lesbian, a bisexual, a transgender, or a queer, or something like that. And this is sort of, I think, a big, big problem in our society that is the case. And also, it goes so far that we can no longer teach our children without fear of consequences that they should... follow the traditional family image. Yeah? And obviously, there's something positive about the traditional family image. We need the next generation, to come along. And we need to, give whoever is born into the next generation the best chance possible to make it, to have a balanced, stable outlook on life, to go through life successfully, satisfied, and happy. And that's really something we should aim for as a society. Now, that's all being done away with. And it's all about me, myself, and I. Yeah, what is best for you? How do you feel best? Yeah, you want to get a divorce? Get a divorce. You want to get a pleasure in life? Go for pleasure. Whatever is right for you, that's what you should do. And this is a complete sort of walking away from traditional Christian principles. Okay, what are Christian principles? Christian principles are that you look out for your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not, I want to have fun, but it's make sure your neighbor is okay. Yeah? If my neighbor's got a problem or there's a serious issue, make sure your neighbor is okay. And that used to be a value which was picked up by the generation before me and partly by my generation as well. By my generation, the great decline already started. And we got into this self-obsessed generation, that it's not about your neighbor anymore. It's not about the guy next door or the lass next door, but it's all about yourself. And so when we look at marriage relationships, it's very similar. It's very, very similar that we have shifted away from a concept of, I'm getting married because I love this person and I want the best for this person. And I sacrifice of myself to make sure that the person is okay who I've married. Yeah, whether If you're a woman, it's your husband. If you're a husband, it's your wife. And so we've gone away from this, and it's all about, you know, what can I get out of this relationship? What can this other person give to me? And this is sort of a little bit where this is gone into, and this is what we have been preached to by secular society, and it's a big problem. Then the whole thing went a little bit further, and it said, oh, it doesn't have to be between a man and a woman. It can be between a man and a woman and a woman. And then it goes even further that, you know, we need to consider same-sex relationships at the same level and with the same tolerance as we consider heterosexual relationships. That is a relationship between a man and a woman. And now that is preached. Now, if you don't do this, and if you don't, you know, draw equality, or what they call equality, you know, at this point, then you are in trouble. Then you are a bigot. You are a problem. You are a radical. You are a hate speech person, and so on, so on. So we've got this twisting going to that extent. And now we are teaching our kids, you know, and this is done through the media, through sitcoms and other bits, and this is done through the school, through the educational system, that the first thing we taught our kids is that when they go for a partner in life, they can decide whether they are gay or they are heterosexual, whether they want a woman or they want, you know, if it's a boy, whether the boy wants a woman or the woman wants a boy or the girl wants a boy, or whether it's going to be boy, boy, and girl, girl. Yeah. And that is what is now preached in our society as, you know, something they need to decide, they need to find out for themselves, and then decide which way they should go. And again, in my opinion, it's a very, very, very big problem. It's a very big problem. It's not good for society. It's not healthy. People are deliberately led away. And I would go so far and call it, would I call it child abuse? I would call it child abuse because it is not the way nature intended it to be. And nobody can make an argument on this point. Yeah. Nature has got a very clear definition of how relationships should work and why they should work a certain way. And this is stripping all religious and cultural and traditional aspects away. So if you add cultural elements, you add traditional elements, you add religious elements, it's always been like this. There's always been the relationship between man and a woman. And this was protected by society, it was sanctioned by society, and there was a purpose for that as well, and that was for the maintenance of the nation, the people. And that's, nobody seems to think about these things today. Interestingly, if you go to Russia and you see how they are dealing with this whole subject, it is very, very different. Okay, let's go further. So then we've got the transgender thing, and nowadays they even go so far within the educational system to let children decide what gender they want to be. And then if they've made a decision, they march them off to the dock to either, you know, align them with one gender or the other gender. In other words, young girls get mutilated, young boys get mutilated to make them look like a woman or like a girl and to make girls look like a boy. And it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem. And as Christians, yeah, we need to stand up and we need to sort of call for reason and go back to the standards God has established and let people know that that there is a standard which is in the Bible and is there for a reason. And we should protect this standard and we should encourage people to follow this standard if they are looking for peace and happiness in their lives. Okay, now we go one step further. So we've got same-sex couples, and same-sex couples can naturally not produce kids. It's an impossibility. So they have to find, if it's two women, they have to find a man who would be ready to give them their sperm. Or if it's two men, they would have to find a woman who is willing enough to bear a child for them. Or adopt a child, yeah? Which again, because of recognition and all the rest of it, is all possible these days in many countries and many nations. But what about the child? My opinion is a child has got a right to a father and a mother. It's very, very important to have these two different viewpoints in a child's life. It's important for a girl. It's important for a boy as well. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen. People die and one parent dies and people get raised up by just the father or the mother. And there are a lot of circumstances which will cause that a child is missing out on a role model, either in a father or mother, so that a child doesn't get mothered or a child doesn't get fathered, yeah, or fathered, meaning in the term of having paternal care or maternal care. It's a big problem, I think. Now, the politically correct brigade would never allow you to talk about this. Yeah, they think that the paternal care and the maternal care, that they are just social concepts which have been impressed on people and is not done by nature. Yeah. And I tend to oppose these people and say it's wrong. Yeah. Just open your eyes and look at them. Men and women are different. Even though society has been trying for the last 50 years to try and feminize men and masculinize women, there's still a vast difference between them, and they still haven't succeeded in fully doing so, you know, to disintegrate the differences, to destroy the differences between the genders. They're trying very hard, but it hasn't worked. You know? There's still certain things which are very, very different between both sexes. Okay, now we've got a lady here, a young lady, who is being raised by a lesbian couple. And she is talking about her experience and what she was missing throughout her upbringing. Let's tune in and listen to her.
Redefine marriage. Because the idea here is if you redefine marriage, you redefine parenting, and then in turn you'll redefine childhood, starting at the very beginning through the creation of children. And so actually to help illustrate this idea, I'm actually going to turn over the podium for a couple of minutes, to someone whose life experience has kind of played this out in her own life, and to kind of give testimony to what this means for a child in these circumstances. So I just met her earlier today. I had heard about her through several members of your parliament when I was in Canberra on Monday and Tuesday. They kept saying this was a dynamic speaker. Talking with her really helped open my eyes to some of the consequences and some of the very real human beings that are impacted by these decisions. You know, sometimes we think it's all abstract ideas, very concrete, incarnational understanding of what's at stake. So I want to invite Millie up to the podium.
It is amazing to see such a huge turnout for a similar cause. My name is Millie Fontana. I'm 23 years old, and I am a donor-conceived child of lesbian parents. I stand here with support from all three of my parents. This is a testimony that is safe to say unheard of, because nobody wants to hear about the other side of the rainbow, the side that is not catered for, that don't grow up happy and grow up with a dissenting idea of what a family structure should be. Growing up, I wanted a father. I felt it within me that I was missing a father before I could even articulate what a father was. I knew that I loved both of my parents, but I could not place my finger on what it is I was missing inside myself. When I hit school, I started to realize through observing other children and their loving bonds with their fathers that I really was missing out on something very special. I was lied to throughout school. I was told I didn't have a father, or that perhaps they didn't know who he was. It was very difficult for me to affirm a stable identity because of this, and my behavioural and emotional stability suffered greatly because of it. I stand here before you, raised atheist with no religious affiliations. I stand with Christians because so far in this debate, Christians are the only people trying to reflect the issues that follow with children. Christians so far are the only people trying to shine light on stories like mine, Nobody in the LGBT lobby wants to hear from someone like me. Because so far, love is love, right? We don't exist. Growing up, I would look in the mirror and I would think to myself, where did I get these green eyes? Where did I get these aspects of my personality, these talents that neither of my parents in the home had? The answer to that is quite simply my father. But in reality, it's not just the father or the donor, as they like to call it. It turns out I have an uncle, I have an auntie, and I have a grandmother, along with many loving cousins. When they chose what parts of my identity were acceptable to reveal to me, they took something from me. And where other children were able to look in the mirror and reconcile those missing parts and say, I love my mothers or my fathers, I could not, because in my eyes, who were my parents to decide what parts of me were acceptable to reveal to me? Meeting my father at 11 years old was probably the only time I had been a stable child. I saw for the very first time who I was. I looked into his eyes and I thought, that is the missing part of me. Not because I'd fantasized about having a father, but because I could put a face to who I was. So I could look at somebody who was equally responsible for my existence. I could affirm my identity based on this man. And if I had not met my father, I would not be standing here with you today, because my emotional reaction to not having him in my life, even at such a young age, was devastating, and it caused me to regress in my development. I want to talk about real equality. There's a lot of talk about equality from the LGBT lobby, but I sort of wonder what their definition of equality is, because for me, equality was being told the truth, was being respected for who I was as a whole, and not just based on what my parents desired to let me know. Equality was being able to look at both sides of my genetic family and understanding who I was. Equality is not saying that because volunteer studies of gay families and children of gays that come out with a positive outcome define it for everybody. It's completely unrealistic. I heard this lie from the LGBT back in March, saying that children don't care who their family is, and that men and women are interchangeable. I consider this in itself to be a form of gender discrimination. Men and women offer complementary roles in child rearing and should probably be respected equally. It's funny the way that the gay lobby talks about homophobia. I've had stories of gay friends of mine coming to me and explaining that other gay people have called them homophobic because they would ideally prefer to raise children with a mother or a father. How utterly ridiculous. Was I homophobic when I was looking in the mirror, wondering where my father was? Was I homophobic when I looked at both of my loving parents and pleaded with them to tell me who I was? Absolutely not. But I do love all three of my parents equally. Homophobia in itself is really just an aversion to behaviour. It has been, it was there for a reason. We have evolved past that point as a society. But I really, really deeply disagree with equating homophobia to racism. A person of colour walks into a room and everybody knows what race they are. Everybody knows they're different. Anybody can walk into a room and nobody has any idea what sexuality they are, because sexuality in itself is fluid. Sexuality is not a reliable form of identity because it changes. It changes due to circumstance or even personal choice. It is not equivalent of racism, and I'm offended by the idea that I am equal to a racist for speaking out about this very topic. Why is our government trying to push an agenda that isn't based on honesty? Because in reality, in any same-sex situation, it takes a third party to produce a child. Always has a third party. So why, as a society, would we try and ignore that as a reality to the situation? I didn't get here based on two women. Three people made the choice to bring me into this world. So why on earth would we try and ignore that? Science is being replaced by adult desire, the way I see it. We see in Canada, people on birth certificates are now legal parents, not biological parents. The birth certificate is changing from a document of history for a child into a document of intent. This is adults saying, I am the one who's going to take care of this child. But what information does that give to the child? It's not realistic. Nobody makes a birth certificate for intent. It's for information. It's for heritage. My mother pitched a question to me the other week. She said to me, Millie, what if my partner and I were able to be married? What if we had that stable household environment that everybody else has? And I answered the question very simply. It was basically answered with another question, which would have been, how would psychologists have treated me for my underlying issues of fatherlessness if to acknowledge fatherlessness was a form of discrimination? How would any physician, under threat of legal action, have treated me under that circumstance? It was met with silence. Nobody thinks about this before we rush ahead to marriage. And I think it's really funny that Obama has stood up and said it's time for everyone else to evolve. But last time I checked, evolution took a fair few steps. It took a little longer than a decade to eventuate. And it also, it took everybody with it. Evolution was not made by one political agenda that is silencing even the other half of the LGBT. This is an extremist minority that are pushing, from my opinion, what seems to be extinction of gender in itself.
Certainly an interesting talk, and it's I think it's so refreshing to hear the other side of the LGBT story as well. Okay, here's a war room, and we need to figure out, first of all, we need to understand what is going on. What is going on in this world? Why are people choosing to go down this route? And what is happening? Also, we need to positively proclaim the Christian model. And the Bible, again, has got a very different concept to what the world is about the husband and wife relationship. Again, if you read what the Bible says, what Paul says, it is that the wife should respect her husband. It's not an issue really of love, because most wives do love their husbands. Even though they are sometimes horrible and very unworthy of love, they do love him. And they haven't got a problem with that. But most wives, not most, but many wives I've seen, sometimes have got an issue with respecting them. Why? Because they do know all their weaknesses. And what is the recommendation or the commendation to men? And that is to for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and to lay down their lives for them if required to do so. And I mean, that's kind of a relationship. If the wife knows that her husband would lay down his life for her if called upon, that is a very different relationship. And I think every wife would respect her husband for that. The thing is, the Christian perspective of marriage is one of surrender, you know, surrender and sacrifice for your partner, for your children, and to have the best in their minds, the best for them in their minds. And if the world would understand this, which it seemingly doesn't, that it is not about me, myself, and I, but it is about what can I do and how can I serve my partner, my spouse, my kids, my family members the best way. It is a very different perspective, but it's one of those paradoxes. In losing yourself, you will find true happiness, and in seeking yourself, you most likely find depression and frustration. And the world tells you to seek yourself, to find yourself fulfillment, yourself realization, self this, self that, and self the other. The church says, not the church, the Bible says that you need to love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. And there's a difference. There's a very, very distinct difference. Okay, we need, as a church, we need to I mean, obviously not be nasty or anything towards those people, but we need to understand what is going on. And I think when I look in the church, the understanding of this issue is not there. When I look in the church, the compassion for these people is sometimes not there either. And we need to confront this onslaught onto the principles as they are declared in the Word of God. With the Word of God, we need to oppose them. We need to not let them in into our community. But at the same time, we need to reach out to those people who are caught up in these unbiblical relationships, to put it mildly, in these relationships which are not from God. So it's very, very important. Okay. Very difficult subject as well. So I'm not quite sure whether we're going to do some more on it tomorrow. I would like to leave this subject. But on the other side, I think it is very, very important that we get to grips with it and that we challenge it as well if we can and if we are in a position to do so. And we have to. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to pray, Father, for the LGBT community, that they will open up their hearts to your gospel, that we also pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters to understand what is going on, to understand where this confusion is coming from, and also to oppose this confusion and to lead people back onto the straight and narrow path. Lord, we pray that that there will be people raised up who can go into these communities to preach your gospel and to just love these people as you love them and to show them a better way, the way which is from you, the narrow way, your way. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.